we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program here on a terrific Tuesday morning. And thank you for making WMIEFM.com, or I said that the other day too. I don't know what. Thank you for making WMIEFM your spiritual feeding ground during the week here. And thank you for tuning in for this program, the Refresh Radio program, brought to you by the Saints at Merritt Assembly of God. Wonderful, wonderful people. If I do say so myself, some of the finest Christians I've ever been around are at Merritt Assembly of God, and they are a blessing to both God, myself, and the community as well. So if you do not have a church home, we'd like to invite you to come and be a part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. We have seats available. We have ministry available, and we want to see you fulfill God's purpose in your life. So we believe there are exciting days ahead for the body of Christ here in Brevard County. With that being said, I want to take you to Matthew chapter 5 today. Matthew chapter 5. And a lot of times we, like I told you, when we started studying the book of Matthew here, beginning in chapter 3, we weren't going to touch on every verse. And so we're doing the Beatitudes, but we've come to a spot where we're going to park for a while, and that is Beatitude chapter 5, verse number 9. I'm just going to read this one verse to you today. You can go back and look at the other Beatitudes today. I don't know exactly how long we're going to be here, but I learned things as I was preparing for this radio program, things that I didn't know before in the context that I learned them. And so I want to share those with you. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 9 says this: "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Let me read that to you again. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." The context of this is Jesus is describing to these people as he's beginning his earthly ministry what it takes to be blessed. And so far, he has not mentioned that it takes a lot of money. He doesn't say that it takes having the right form of government. There are a lot of things. It doesn't take having the right house or the right car or the right clothes or the right friends or any of that other stuff. He is going through and he is describing to people what it takes to be called blessed by your Heavenly Father. And so here he describes that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Peacemakers are entirely different than peacekeepers. The United Nations has peacekeepers, but they're basically there as monitors. Peacekeepers, according to the United Nations, they're not able to go in and really do anything. They are only there, and if somebody acts against them, then they will respond to what actions have been taken. So you'd better hope that the people who are attacking you are bad shots. You need to bank on the fact that their strategy might be flawed. In the same way, many people approach peace in their life as if we can just keep them from firing at us, we're promising we're not going to fire the first shot. They try and maintain peace, and for them the definition of peace is the absence of conflict. And so rather than dealing with the issues, they just simply try and keep from tearing one another apart, and that is quote unquote keeping the peace. Keeping the, you know, there's a bumper sticker that says, give peace a chance. Give peace a chance. You know what? I want to give biblical peace a chance. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today, because if you and I are going to keep peace, if we're going to maintain peace, if we're going to make peace, if we're going to be called the sons of God, that peacemaker ought to be what every child of God is, one of the identifying characteristics of them. We'll talk about that more on another program, I believe. I don't think we'll get there today. So let me take you to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So we're going to talk about the reality, and then we're going to talk about the process. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. Paul writes, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay, let me read that to you again. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So let's go back to what Paul is admonishing the Ephesians to do. And that is, he's begging them, he is imploring them, he is requesting in the strongest ability that he has for them to walk worthy of the calling that they have in Christ Jesus. You and I, our confession should line up with our walk, with our lifestyle. If it doesn't, there's a disconnect someplace, and the disconnect is not God's problem. The disconnect is our problem. So I want to encourage you to walk in accordance with the understanding of the Word of God that you have. Not everybody is going to be at the same level. If you remember, Aquila and Priscilla encountered a guy by the name of Apollos that was out there preaching. And it said that after they heard him present his message, they had a meeting with him and explained to him further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Apollos ended up being a valuable member of the body of Christ, but his understanding had not arrived yet. A lot of times we judge people according to their actions, not realizing that all of us are at different levels of revelation. Okay? I had a person that asked me one time how they should respond to a situation because they were dealing with another believer. And as they were communicating with me and they were telling me what their expectation was, they made this statement. Well, okay, God, you want me to ask Pastor Bob about this, and I will, but I don't think that there's anything that he could tell me that is going to impact the insight that I have into how I should respond to this situation. And so they described this situation that they were dealing with another believer, and I asked this question, how long have they been a Christian? And all of a sudden, they began to laugh on the other end of the phone that we were having that conversation, because God had just brought them some understanding to the situation that they might not have had. A new believer, first of all, a new believer is probably going to be more zealous than an old believer. If they've had a genuine conversion, they are going to be so excited about having their burdens removed and their sins forgiven, that they're going to want to tell everybody so that they can avail themselves of that same benefit. But the second thing is that if they're a new believer, they may not have an understanding of the word. And so the Holy Spirit is going to have some serious work to do in their life. So there may be some people who are engaging in sinful activities, not intentionally, but unintentionally, simply because they haven't had the Holy Spirit reveal those things to them yet. And I want to encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to give them some time, or give the Holy Spirit some time, because he's excellent at his job. Walk worthy of the calling. Now, if you know that something is sin and you continue to do it, the Bible says that's sin. If you know that it's something that's right to do and you don't do it, that's sin. If you know that something is wrong and you do it anyway, that's sin. And God doesn't wink at sin anymore. He deals with sin so that he can forgive sin. So he said, you walk in lowliness, you walk in humility. If you're going to walk as a child of God, you walk in humility. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So you want to walk with that mindset. You don't want to think of yourself more highly than you ought. I was in a Brevard County pastors meeting here some time ago, a couple of weeks ago. And I had my eyes opened to a reality that I was not familiar with, because I've been in Brevard County for so long, but most of my ministry is up in the central Brevard County area, not so much down in Melbourne and Palm Bay. And I knew some pastors down in that area, but when I came to this meeting, which had a lot of people in it, I realized I don't know. There were churches I didn't even know existed, and there were pastors there, and it was like, you know what? I'm one of the old guys in the room, not one of the young guys in the room. So you walk in humility. There was a person that was making a comment, and they were describing this one particular church. And they were talking about what a tremendous impact on the community that particular church was having. Praise God. I rejoice when the kingdom of hell is being plundered and the kingdom of heaven is being populated. So you and I, if we will walk with humility, God will give us the grace. He will give us the empowerment to accomplish whatever we need. It also says to walk with gentleness. We talked about that with the fruit of the Spirit. You and I should have a gentleness about us. That gentleness enables us to be able to restore people spiritually. We need to make sure that we handle people as if they are a very precious treasure, because to God and to us, they should be. With long-suffering, with patience, so we've talked about that. And then it says this, bearing with one another in love. I don't know if you have people that you have encountered that they can put something of a strain on this, but this is not a mental attitude. This is a personal interaction lifestyle. You bear with one another. You recognize that you are in this thing together, and neither one of you is perfect. So you bear with one another in love. The motivation for that is endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So when in Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. The sons of God realize that there is a bond of peace. There is a bond of peace. We are supposed to be first and foremost at peace with God, and then that will manifest with peace with man. I tell people, if you get your vertical relationship straight, it will make your horizontal relationships a whole lot easier. God knows how difficult it is to deal with people. And you and I deal with people every day. So we need God's help. And he wants the hallmark characteristic of a born again believer is, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And so there needs to be this bond of peace, not just an absence of conflict, but a wholeness in our relationship, a soundness in our personal makeup that manifests in our finances, in our physical being, our emotional being, our mental capacities, every area of our life, even our relationships, our jobs and things like that, that there will be wholeness there. And so there's a bond of peace there. A friend of mine posted a few weeks ago. Now he's a person that I was actually his supervisor at one point in time. His grandfather was the pastor of my grandmother's sister. I mean, they're, and was on staff at the church that I was attending. And so this guy got, radically saved in high school, completely and totally on fire for God. Now he is serving at a church in South Carolina, and, he has a desire to see people in wholeness in every area of their life. And so he posted on Facebook and he said, anybody in the South Carolina area know of any jobs that are available? I'm asking for a couple of believers that I know. By the way, it's not me. That was what he said. In other words, he hadn't quit his job. He was looking to make sure that there was soundness in these other men's lives. Because like we've talked about before, many times men's identity is tied with their occupation. And whenever you are unable to find a job, it is an attack on the identity of a man. By the way, God wants you to identify primarily as a child of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. How do you keep this bond of peace? You keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You realize that peace is your bond, and you keep yourself united with the Spirit's purpose for you. You keep yourself united for the Spirit's purpose with others. A lot of people have negative things to say about other people in the body of Christ, and I'm not a big fan of that at all. I like to be in unity, because the disciples on the day of Pentecost, they were in one accord. We need to have one faith, one Lord, one baptism. That's what we need. We need to how good and pleasant is it when brethren dwell together in unity? For God pours out a blessing there, a commanded blessing, even life forevermore. It's very important. You keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So I may not be able to agree with everything that an individual says, but if I know that their spirit is right with God, I trust God to be able to deal with them spiritually, because I know that he deals with me spiritually. A couple of weeks ago, I was teaching our boys class on Wednesday night about the Holy Spirit putting his finger on my heart one night before a church service ever began, about correcting something between me and another brother that I didn't even realize I had done something. Neither did he, for that matter, but God did. And so that guy said, "Oh, brother, don't worry about it. It wasn't that big a deal to me." I said, "Well, it's a big deal to God, because he just got all over me over there. And I want to make sure that I took care of this real quick." You keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, the first way, I'm going to touch on two more things here in the last 2 minutes. Colossians chapter 1, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, So just a couple of books over to the right. Colossians chapter 1 tells us in verse number 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by him, Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." So you and I, the only way that we can be peacemakers is if we say yes to God's plan of Jesus dying on the cross so that we could be reconciled to the Heavenly Father. You might be able to get along with people for a while, but there will be no genuine peace. There'll just be an absence of conflict until every party involved has reconciled themselves to God. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." That's because the most important peace to make is that peace that we need to make with God, saying, "God, I'm a sinner. You're a Savior. I need your forgiveness, and you died to forgive me. And I want to say yes to your tremendously generous offer of salvation." If you are sick and tired of being at odds with other people all the time over all sorts of silly things, then I encourage you to make peace with God. There are some people that they insist on hearing these words, "You are right. You are right." I tell people that people who argue over eschatology or end time events, whether it's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture, a post-tribulation rapture, or no rapture at all, that sooner or later we're all going to die. We're all going to find ourselves in the presence of God. And when the rapture of the church does take place, that there's not going to be anybody high-fiving one another on the way up and saying, "You know what? I was right. You were wrong." Nah. None of that Alabama Auburn type stuff, or Florida versus Florida State, or that other school down in South Florida. There's not going to be any of that sort of animosity going on. There's not going to be any of that, because the Spirit's not going to allow it. We're just going to be thankful to be in the presence of God. We're going to lay every crown down at our feet. This word that is used for peacemaker here, its foundational word is used in the Septuagint, and in all honesty, I had to do some study, because I had to figure out exactly what they were trying to say. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 8 through 10 says this: "The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. He who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall." My understanding is the word prating there means a person who babbles foolishly. They just talk nonsense. They just talk to hear their own voice, but there's no wisdom behind it. So I did some research to find out, and I was like, because I was looking all over the place there for the concept of peace, and I ran across this statement. It was online, and I didn't take note of where it came from. It was from a Bible commentary someplace. "He that reproves with freedom makes peace. Faithful reproving of sin promotes peace for a society." And all of a sudden, whenever you begin to see that what actually brings peace is just not tolerating everybody's foolishness, but the peace with men comes from that peace that we make with God. And so we realize that sin is an assault on peace in our homes. It is an assault on peace with our spouses, an assault on peace with our children and grandchildren, generational, our parents, our grandparents, wherever you are in that equation. If there's not peace with God, there's going to be sin, and sin is going to be that threat with peace. So a peacemaker is going to say, on my workplace, in my home, in my church, in my marriage, we're going to have peace, and we're going to have it because I'm going to be at peace with God. And I'm going to encourage everybody else to be at peace with God. And we're going to realize sin is what it is. It is a threat to peace on a society. In fact, I make this statement. I'm willing to fight for peace. I'm willing to fight for the spirit of unity and the bond of peace. And the way that we do that is we say, you know what? God's word says that this particular behavior will destroy my life. Therefore, I don't want it in my life. Pride, God hates it. Man is thrilled with it. There's all sorts of boasting. If you don't believe me, look at an Alabama football fan's post right after or during an Alabama football game. For that matter, you might see it during an Oklahoma fan. I'm an Oklahoma fan, and you'll probably see it during their games as well. Oklahoma State fans don't like Oklahoma fans because we win all the time. But God says, look, you're never going to have peace just not calling sin sin. You actually have peace when you stop talking foolishness and you start talking truth and you say, sin is sin and it hurts God and it hurts me and it hurts society. That's why the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. You and I, we want to make sure that we're at peace with God. And then take it that next step. Be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker by living out the truth of God's word, proclaiming truth in love, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in people's lives. Let's be peacemakers because we are sons of God. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.